Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 162. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, here with my partner in crime.
Ben Beaner.
What up, dude? Happy Monday.
What's good? Monday, man. I just woke up, dude.
Your last day off.
God, yeah. I'm still asleep, dude.
No, it's cool, man. Well, you needed it. I requested 4 days off from both jobs for to recharge my batteries, too. Yeah. So it was a good week, and I got to see you yesterday, man. So 2 days back-to-back with you.
It was fun, dude. We got to watch a lot of football.
We got to meet up with David at Dave & Buster's, and then we met up with Albert at the three of us went over to Danny K's, which was pretty dope to see Albert.
It was fun.
Yeah, good times, dude. So David and I have been planning or making a date of going, meeting each other on Sundays for the games, for the early games, whether it be a quarter, half a quarter, or whatever, or, you know, half the game. But yeah, so good times for sure, man, seeing everyone. So
it was nice, dude. It was good. We just sat there and talked shit.
Yeah, good times, dude.
We went to Dave & Buster's, and
they had a section.
I thought Raider fans were bad, but
Rams fans.
These hardcore, long-term Ram fans for the past, what, four games?
Yeah.
Just fucking stupid, dude.
It's straight up, dude. Like, we walked into the section just looking for a table.
We're looking at the TVs to
see what games are playing. And I'm like, this whole section is all fucking Rams games. Why did, you know, why is
that?
Well,
yeah, your Steelers shirt on.
My Steelers
shirt. I have my Patriots shirt on. You know, they just
some douchebag just hits us up straight up like, this section's reserved. It's like, whoa, homie, fucking relax. We're just walking over to the fucking
bathroom's right next to the section, asshole.
Exactly. I made it a point to fucking walk in front of them every time I went by. But, yeah, man, it was good times for sure. Did you do anything exciting besides hanging out with us yesterday?
Not really. Just low-key.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang out. Just rest.
That's good, man.
We had three games.
Yes, back-to-back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
How many did you win of those ones?
All of them.
Good.
Just fucking making little girls cry. Like,
good.
My specialty.
Good. I like it. Well, I think I messaged you back. It's beautiful, the taste of little girls' tears. It's awesome, dude. Right on, man. Well, congrats on that.
Thanks, dude. That's funny, dude.
Smoked some girls.
Rock them up.
Cool, man. Well, fucking, let's get to it. I don't know how much we have today, but we got a few things to talk about. Okay, let's start off first of all. Well, actually, huge shout out to all our listeners. As far as our Comic Syndicate chat room, as far as, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook, all the love today I've been getting for my birthday. Totally appreciate it, guys.
Good birthday, man.
You guys know who you are. So thanks, Adam, for coming out to hang out with me yesterday too, man. So so just thanks a lot for everyone on that. I totally appreciate it. All right, let's hit episode 62. You want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago?
100?
100 episodes yes. ago. Twitter love shoutouts, NFL week 5 recap, week 6 picks. We had sex facts. Women prefer gay porn to female friendly straight porn, says survey.
Jeez.
That's only news we spoke about. We hit comic news, Deadpool talk, cancellations and new ongoing titles. We hit comic talk reviews, Captain America number 25, Grayson number 3, Death of Wolverine number 3, Uncanny Avengers number 25, Gotham Academy number 1, which we're still digging on, Cutter number 5, Nailbiter number 6, Thor number 1, and Moon Knight number 8. That was a good batch, dude.
Just a lot.
Do you want to know what we named episode 62?
What's something to do with porn, I think.
No. What is that? Kaboom.
Oh!
I have not... That was awesome.
It's with loops, right?
Thanks. Yeah, cause that's pretty so. Much what it is. Yeah,
still
yeah.
alive, guys.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was awesome. Yeah, if you guys want to go back to listen to that episode, it was pretty fucking funny. Dude. I think we were both sour that day.
I think we were. I think we're always sour.
This is fucking true. All right, man. The only Twitter shout-outs I have is going to be a few. First one's going to be Linnea McLean on Facebook. She left us a message. She said, just listen to episode 59 and 160. Margo sounds so cute. So that's a compliment to you. I thought I'd toss that one out. And then she says, I remember the one day Amazon job, LOL.
Oh.
So she listened to two back-to-back. Totally appreciate it, Lynn. Next one's going to be on Twitter, at St. Knowledge, Jonathan Villanueva. He says, so besides TESD, tell him Steve Day to keep me company in the storm. He's in Florida, dude. So he banked up a bunch of episodes of a bunch of podcasts, and he says, I'm taking at Cod Pod, at Comic Syndicate 1, at Totes My Lady, at Bacon Beard Pod, and the Tipsy Twosome with me. So
Tipsy Twosome, that's a cool name.
Yeah, right? I like that.
I like that.
So those are the podcasts he listens to as well. So I'm glad, Jonathan, I know we've been chatting, but he made it through the storm in one piece, dude.
Good, man.
And it looked like he was in the heart of the fucking storm.
I see his Twitter. He's singing those songs, Hit the Road, Check. And he's like, no.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I love that guy, dude. Anyways, okay, that's all I got for Twitter shoutouts.
I thought he lived in Irvine. There was a couple pictures he took outside his, like, kind of his work.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looked like Tustin Marketplace
like
type,
if he worked
type
that
buildings.
Close to me, I'd be buying him beers.
Yeah, everywhere. And then I'm like, fuck, Florida, Jesus.
You know, right? Okay, let's hit some football talk. Football, week 6. The numbers, as they stand now, you won 7 games. I did the worst I've done. I won 5 games.
Yeah.
Sergio won 8 games. So our totals now put us at, with one more game going on tonight, right now, you're at 44 wins. I'm at 49. Serge was at 46.
I'm still fucking last place?
You suck at this. But then again, I suck at fantasy football, so.
I think I lost to all both leagues.
Right, dude? I'm getting smashed, dude. But, okay, let's hit it real quick. Week 6, any takeaways you got?
My fucking... We did pretty good with the game.
Against Cincinnati.
We smashed Bengals
mm-hmm.
pretty well. They were good games.
A lot of good
Buffalo
games.
Buffalo was really good.
And David is a Giants fan. Giants versus Baltimore was really
good.
Was
really
like,
good.
Nail-biter close game. Really good games. The fucking Dallas fucking Green Bay game was excellent.
Dallas beat
the
30-something, dude. 30-16.
Yeah, dude. So, and again, jeez. Dak Prescott, I'm really liking that young quarterback, dude. My biggest takeaway for week 6 is Ben's fucking dead.
Yeah, I mean, like...
It didn't look that bad, dude. It's his ankle. He got surgery. High ankle sprain. I don't even know what it is, honestly. But he got surgery today.
What was wrong with it? Just tore something?
Yeah, he tore something.
Jeez.
In his ham or quad, I believe. Or ham, I believe. Anyways, so he's out. We have Landry Jones to go on. So that means no Antonio Brown. That means it's going to be a strict run game from here right now, dude.
The whole season?
I don't fucking know. No, they said they didn't... disclose how long he's going to be out, but that's going to hurt us, dude. And if we can survive without him, you guys were able to do it with Brady. Only 4 games, though.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's tough, dude. So if you got 2 months to rehab, hopefully he can come back, dude. And
of course, by your Jones, I mean, he didn't look too good.
He sucks, dude.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an ugly next few weeks for us. So those are the takeaways we have for week 6. Week 7, do you want to go through now?
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday night's game is going to be the Bears at the Packers. Every time I go for the Bears, they fuck me. I'm going to go Packers straight up.
I'm going to go Bears. This last Sunday was... didn't look too good at Packers.
Agreed. Next one's going to be Giants at Rams. And you know what? Fuck Rams from here on out.
I'm going to go Giants because... yeah, fuck Rams.
We'll sweep that. Next one's going to be Saints at the Chiefs.
Did Raiders win?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
They did.
Oh, no.
The score on that. Yeah. Raiders.
Wow.
Against the fucking Chargers. 34-31.
No, they play Kansas. Raiders play Kansas.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's cool. I'm going to go... fuck, I don't know where I want to go. I'm not going to go Kansas.
Okay, I will go... I'll go Kansas then. All right, fuck it, dude. I don't know why that took us that long on that game. We're just like, ah. Okay, anyways, next one's going to be Vikings at the Eagles. Vikings it up.
Yeah.
All right, we'll sweep that one. Next one's going to be Colts at Titans.
I'll go where we don't go.
Okay, I'm going to give you the Colts. I'm taking Titans.
Okay.
Next one's going to be Bills at the Dolphins.
Bills, man. Bills have been playing pretty tough.
We're going to sweep that. Yeah, I agree. Next one's going to be Redskins at the Lions. Washington turned it on somehow, dude. They've been playing a lot better ball, dude.
You see that chick next to us?
Yeah, she's hot.
At Danny Case?
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking killer.
I liked it, dude. I like chicks that, you know, they're passionate about sports, dude.
Okay, Washington.
Oh, so yeah, Washington's...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. We will... fuck.
I gotta
care. I'll go Lions just to fucking.
You're like fucking rooting for Stanford.
Yeah, I do like Stanford. Okay. Man. Next one's gonna be Browns at the Bengals. Well, no one's ever gonna go with Browns, come on, right? Man. All right, next one's gonna be Raiders at the Jaguars.
Raiders.
Road games are always hard, but yeah.
Raiders are doing it, man.
Next one's gonna be Ravens at the Jets. I don't know about the Jets, dude.
I need Jets to lose because they're in my division.
I need Ravens to lose because they're in my division.
I'm going to go Ravens.
Fuck. Ravens are going to win that, too. We're going to sweep that. Next one's going to be Chargers at the Falcons. Ugh. I like Matt Ryan. I'm going to go Falcons, dude.
This past week, Rivers, man, he got it something up his ass, man. He was just
you saw that game? Against Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chargers.
Ooh, all right. San Diego. All right, next one's going to be Buccaneers at 49ers. Yes. And Kaepernick is playing again. Kubiak
Bucks.
Said he wants him to start.
I'm going to go Bucks. I don't like
that. We'll sweep that. Wow, we have a lot of sweeps this one. Next one's going to be, fuck me.
Is there Steelers and
Patriots at the Steelers.
Damn. I'm going Patriots.
I'm going to go
Steelers. Supposed to have something this Sunday. I don't know if you have it off or not. Is it a night game?
I don't know until tomorrow evening. It's going to be at 1:25.
Okay, so it might be an afternoon game. I mean, it is an afternoon game. Mm-hmm. It might have something. So my buddies are all at work, huge Steeler fans.
Dope, dude.
And the husband keeps
bugging How me. Local does he live?
Fullerton.
Perfect.
Just somewhere.
Keep me posing. Okay, next one's going to be, and this is, it's going to be a great game, dude. I did love playing you anyways. Next one's going to be Seahawks at the Cardinals. I don't know what to think about either team right now. Man. They both suck. I'm going to go Russell Wilson, Seahawks.
I have Palmer, so I can circle Palmer.
All right, sounds good. And the Monday night game is going to be the Texans at the Broncos. You know the Broncos are going to be pissed the fuck off. Broncos?
Broncos.
All right, there you go, man. Oh, that's week 7 in the books now. All right, man. What do you want to fucking hit, man? We can cut a little bit of everything, dude.
What we got?
All right, we have what the fuck news? Accused bank robber duped dad into giving her a ride to quote-unquote job interview. Florida woman, Florida woman accused of robbing a bank may have gotten her father involved in a crime without him knowing. Chelsea Wilson was arrested Friday morning after she allegedly robbed a TD Bank in Fort Lauderdale on Thursday.
Hey, Dad, I'm working for the Halloween costume store. Like, I have this costume, I'm just going to be wearing it real quick.
Well, that's funny. Did you read this article?
I did not.
Okay, dude. Like, sometime between leaving the car and going to the job interview, the 24-year-old suspect covered her blonde locks with a red wig and hat and put sunglasses on. Okay. Wilson allegedly entered the bank shortly before 4 p.m. and handed the teller a handwritten note demanding money.
Okay.
And the note says,
Good.
You have exactly 1 minute to give me all your $50 and $100 bills from both your drawers, or I will shoot you. No die packs, no alarms. Follow these instructions and no one will get hurt. Act normal.
I'm glad she fucking thought this through.
You know? Right? Yeah, smooth, right?
By the way, P.S., my dad's in the car waiting
so
for me.
So you need to hurry up.
The fucking Volkswagen.
Exactly. Soccer mom car, yeah. Wilson made off with $300 and exited the bank parking lot in an SUV that FBI agents later determined was registered to her father. Wilson's father said he thought the cash his daughter had was an advance.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? It's under a certain amount of money. So, isn't it like...
Yeah, because grand theft is over $3,000? $10,000.
So, she just made a really bad paycheck. Mm. A McDonald's paycheck.
Kind of. It goes on your permanent record.
$300.
Right? Yeah.
His dad had $300 in his pocket.
Exactly. The witness reported Wilson after recognizing her as someone wanted in connection with 4 other recent robberies.
Oh, wow.
Wilson admitted to committing all 5 robberies and said she spent the money collected from the most recent heist on groceries.
So she came up
with... Jail records show that Wilson is behind bars in Broward County.
She came up with a grand of all 5 jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Just go steal the food.
This one is going to be cool. Jesus shitless.
Okay.
And since it's spooky, this is really fucked up. And another stupid broad. A North Carolina woman has pleaded guilty to killing her father and hiding his body in a storage shed.
Oh.
Crystal Brooke Howell, 20, was sentenced Monday on first-degree murder charges for the February 2014 death of Michael Howell, 50.
The same guy, the same girl, the bike brake robber?
This is another genius out in the fucking North Carolina now. She was 17 at the time. Prosecutors say she subsequently invited friends to move into the home, lying about the cause of her father's death. So much what the fuck in this,
wow.
Dude. Miss Howell had previously told her friends that her father had killed himself, Assistant District Attorney Jeff Jones said in the Haywood County DA news release. She then started to drive his car and spend his money. She had her friends move in, had a drug-fueled party, and even had a stripper pole installed in the kitchen.
Jeez, I mean, come on.
You need a stripper pole, I know, right? Thorey said Howell shot her father in the head with a shotgun while he napped. Then she hid his body inside a plastic container in the family storage shed in their cabin in Maggie Valley. House guests discovered the body about a month later while trying to move a pinball machine into the shed. I don't know. So many what the fucks, dude. She was arrested in Georgia a day later with her father's Land Rover and a U-Haul trailer.
It's like, hey, where's the late chips at? I'm looking, digging through fucking, you know, packages.
Seriously. Oh, wait. There's a dead... Is that your dad? Yeah. Fucked up, dude. On Monday, she pleaded guilty to first-degree murder. She was sentenced to 5 to 7 years in prison for hiding the body and must serve at least 25 additional years for the murder before she can apply for parole.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, crazy. Up, what the dude. Fuck? Totally what?
Just shot him while he was sleeping.
Yeah. And, wow. So she can throw a fucking party and...
I said I want the damn fucking hooker.
Daughters of the fucking year.
Dude. In the kitchen, Dad.
That's what happened. So, two geniuses of the week so far. We got.
Can they even bury him?
I know. What a bitch, dude. All right, we are running short on time. Let's go through creepy news real quick. Okay, this one's going to be quick. Two to get comfy coffin overnight stay in Dracula's castle. This one came out October 17th today.
I want to talk to you
this. This guy. Well, trip out and let me know if you would do this, dude, because this is the actual thing now. Bucharest. No garlic or garlic-scented items allowed, including perfume. Read the house rules of Count Dracula's castle to ensure that Halloween night guests cannot avoid the vampire. On October 31st, two people will be allowed to sleep in a velvet-trimmed coffins in the seclusion of Count's crypt and will spend the rest of the night in the Carpathian's castle completely alone.
Oof.
Yep. The company launched a promotional contest via Airbnb on Monday to pick the castle's first ever overnight guest since the Romania's post-war World War II communist regime expelled the owners.
Jesus. Okay.
The Habsburg royal family almost 70 years ago. It was the last time they let anyone do it. In 2006, a democratic government that replaced the fallen communists restored the 14th century grand fortress known as Dracula's Castle to Habsburg descendants situated in the wooded foothills of the Carpathian Mountains. It is now a museum and major tourist attraction in Europe.
Two people only.
Yeah.
Like, hey, congratulate, like the tractor factories. Like
you and, yeah, you like, and your lady.
You guys get to go die.
It would be gnarly, but I mean...
And it's Dracula's really castle?
I can continue, but the castle was never part of Bram Stoker's novel Dracula, although Romania's notorious 15th century ruler Vlad Tepes, or Vlad the Impaler, whose life inspired the book, may have set foot there briefly.
Yeah, I bet you the scary looking fucking...
It's gotta be. It's an old castle.
Yeah, I wouldn't...
I love castles.
Would you stay there for fucking...
For the story, Adam, I almost died. I'm a fucking vampire now. For real, though. You know? So, Vlad was notorious for his cruelty, impaling Turks and thieves on wooden stakes, but he was no vampire, and vampires are not part of Romanian superstition.
Really? But know. They just called it Dracula's...
Yes, true, but I mean, this is the whole, like, let's get people to crush up. Airbnb said the winning pair will walk through the castle's labyrinth of dark corridors, even that would be dope, dude, to eventually discover a secret passage to the grand dining room. There, an intimate candlelit dinner will await, prepared in a traditional way, exactly as described in Bram Stoker's novel. A hearty, blood-enriched meal of robber, a beefsteak, and paprika chicken.
Okay.
Bran Castle is where you're in.
I'm chicken and fucking stew, yes.
Nice, dude. Bran Castle is where the legend of Dracula was born, and I may have stories to share as I guide the guests through the dark secret passages of the castle for a private unveiling of many of its mysteries. So, said Dacre Stoker, a descendant of Bram Stoker, who will play the role of Jonathan Harker, a character from the novel. Would do it.
I would not...
Ah, dude, that sounds cool, man.
I mean, I don't believe in vampires, but still, it just seems, you know, there's some weird shit going on.
True.
Dark. And, you know, I don't even like beef stew, so.
It's, yeah, well, okay. Can you change the menu and I might change my mind? All right, man.
There's some pizza in here.
All right, man, let's Some more spooky shit we got, dude.
Sweet, sweet.
Okay, here, dude, let's go for it. We have the victim's ghost. When hospital orderly Alan Shaughery was called in for questioning by Chicago police in 1977, he knew what it was about, or rather, whom it was about. Teresita Bassa had also worked at the Edgewater Hospital, and early in 1976, Shaughery had gone to her apartment and stabbed her to death before setting her on fire.
Okay.
He was hoping the police didn't know anything.
It's part of the tour. Everything.
Exactly. Earlier in 1977, respiratory technician Remy Chua, who had worked with Teresita but not known her well, saw the dead woman loitering about the hospital employees' lounge. Soon thereafter, a distinct change came over Remy. She started displaying strange mannerisms and following routines that were not her own. She became distant, sometimes seeming to almost be in a trance. She would sing songs she didn't know, then deny singing them, or even saying anything. The strange events grew worse until one day when Remy fell back on her bed and spoke to her family in Teresita's voice.
So the dead woman. Oh, shit.
Remy's husband Joe was a doctor, and Teresita mainly addressed him, begging him to go to the police, and she had plenty of information. She named Shower and had Joe write down various items he had stolen from her apartment and the names and phone numbers of relatives who could confirm that the items were hers. Though police were understandably skeptical, they brought Shower in and watched his alibi crumble as Teresita's relatives pointed out her valuables, which police had indeed found in Shower's home. He subsequently confessed and was convicted of murder. Remy Chua has never had another such experience, despite the accuracy of her information and the case's appearance.
So she did do this.
On Unsolved Mystery in 1996. No one has ever been able to explain how it happened. Show. Dope, right?
Remember that show?
Good show. Great
God,
show.
It scared me sometimes. The trippy shit, right? Like the fucking, the theme song?
Even the theme song.
Oh, yeah. God, dude.
Okay, so that's one. The entity we're going to hit next, dude. Lots of people wish that one day the story of their life will be made into a Hollywood movie. Unless it's a jaw-droppingly disturbing horror film like 1982, The Entity. I don't think I've ever seen that one. A movie that opens with a woman being raped in her bed by an invisible being, and which is based on the events that befell Doris Berther of Culver City, California, in the early 70s. Man. Wow, gnarly already.
So she's getting raped by ghosts.
Yeah, straight up.
Okay.
Okay. According to the paranormal investigators who looked into her case, Doris begged them for help after overhearing their conversation in a bookstore. She was a complete mess, alcoholic, constantly drunk, abused by her parents, and abusive toward her own sons. She would also periodically be physically assaulted by three entities nobody could see. Damn. And to the investigators, there was little disputing their authenticity. A room full of them saw it with their own eyes.
So she's getting gangbanged by ghosts.
By ghosts, yes. That's exactly what was going down. tagging. As Doris began cursing and otherwise provoking whatever the entities were, or lights appeared around the room, followed by a swirling green mist in the corner, in which the shape of a man's upper body appeared. Just the shape, no facial features, just this disembodied torso in the swirling green mist, and that's when one of the investigators fainted.
Wow.
The photos captured during the incident don't show exactly what the investigators described. That's one of them above. I don't have it. Doris and her troubled family, investigators think that the three entities were psychic projections of Doris's hostility towards her three sons, having been heard from since the 80s. Snarl.
So, I mean, so just like the theme song came on, dum dum dum.
This and like, guy.
And like three dudes come on. But she's saying that it might be in her sons?
Yeah. So, well, no. Like, I guess.
She's
projecting. So her negative vibes, I guess?
Yeah, but they said they were saw her getting raped.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
They try to.
Hey. Protection.
I guess, question it off or like fucking just dismiss it by saying it's your own mind fucking with you. Oh, and it wasn't her mind that was getting fucked.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Okay, check this.
Wow.
Alright, we got enough time for one more, dude. Do you want to hear about the ghost or aliens?
Ghost.
Okay, cool. When I was 12 years old, my sister and her husband and their 2-year-old, my niece, moved into a house on the next block. The family who vacated the house had moved because their teen daughter had a friend who was missing, and the strain was too much for the girl. I was spending the night on a weekend, and I was downstairs with my sister and niece doing laundry. As we went up the stairs to the main floor, I turned to help my niece up the stairs. She had been playing around the basement and talking to herself, or so I thought. As I turned to grasp her hand, she said, "Come on, lady, come on." I was amazed to see a girl of about 16 or 17 standing at the base of the stairs dressed in a white dress with her arms outstretched. Whoa. She was missing her right hand.
Oh.
Right? On numerous occasions, I was to see this ghost. It was nothing to wake up and find her sitting on the bed or looking into your face.
Whoa.
I would follow her down the hall into the living room or into my niece's room. Several months passed and the missing girl was found. She had been mutilated and cut into many pieces by a machete. Her right hand was missing when they found her. It seems that she was supposed to go to her girlfriend's house after work on the night she disappeared. She never got there. She was abducted and murdered. Her best friend kept seeing her in the house, and her family thought she was nuts. Hence the reason they moved in. My sister rented this house. I have heard the girl still haunts the house, and it never stays occupied long. My sister lived there longer than anyone else. She is a psychic, and she said that she never felt threatened by the girl. To this day, it still gives me the cold chills and nightmares.
Damn, that's just, I mean,
crazy, right?
High fives? Oh, wait a minute.
This guy.
You have no arm. I don't know, dude.
That's kind of freaky, though, right? Again, it goes with people seeing things and being able to talk to or...
People just get murdered like that. I know it happens like every minute or whatever. You know how they give those statistics, you know?
Yep.
Man, how do people do that shit, bro?
It's freaky, dude. Yeah, yeah. So, you got any scary stories?
Nah, that's a pretty fucked up story.
I have one of my buddies, Julio. Fuck, I haven't seen him forever, dude. He said he used to live right by Willard in Santa Ana.
Oh, this is scary houses down by Willard,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly.
Weird houses.
So he said that at the house at a certain time, 11 or midnight or something like that, every night he'd hear a creak like they had a fucking screen door.
Yeah.
So they'd hear the creak. The door was closed. But then you'd hear...
Oh, man.
From the front of the house to the back of the house. And I guess there was another screen door, so... And you hear another creak. And that was the back door. No, and then he'd hear the sound of like somebody taking off their boots. I guess this was the guy's routine.
Every night?
Every night. Getting off work.
Wow.
Fuck, that's nuts. Yeah, dude. So,
close the door, asshole. Right?
Yeah, it's gotta be freaking cool.
You know what? It's just weird, man. I guess you would get used to it and just wait for it.
True, but it's still fucking... It's. If you're comfortable with it, I guess, but, like, again, it's...
I would not be comfortable with it.
I know, we're comfortable with it. Kind of the wrong
word. Would you be comfortable? Like, you know, every night, like, you're watching the game.
Yeah.
And with some buddies.
Hey, dickhead. Steelers, Ben's dead, dick. I don't need you making creaking sound, all right? I'm not dead.
I don't know, man.
And that's the... Yeah,
just
yeah.
look at your buddy. It's like, it's Freddy. Don't worry about it.
All right, man. Since we're on Scary Story Talk, dude, I haven't hit anything like this in a while, dude. But I'm going to quote something for you. I haven't busted out in fucking 20 years.
Oh, shit.
In English class our freshman year, I had Mr. Valenti, and he was a great fucking teacher, dude.
Mr. Valenti.
And he
Santa?
Yeah. You've probably seen him there before. Some old dude with glasses. I think I want to say he was Italian.
Okay.
And so he... You and I love reading.
Yes.
Okay, and this one always stuck with me, my freshman year. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping.
Oh, shit.
Rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more. Ah, suddenly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and with each dying ember rotted its ghosts upon the floor.
Wow.
Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow, from my books, surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels named Lenore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping. happen at my chamber door.
Wow.
That scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there and nothing more. That's the raven.
Wow.
That's the raven.
And he did this with no notes. Guys.
It stuck with, and I'm off.
And he's possessed right now.
A few of the stanzas are off, but like, if you guys dig on it, dude, if you guys have never read The Raven before, listeners, find it. Look online. It's a quick fucking read. That's all I remember. Like, but yeah, off the cuff, 20 years, I have not quoted it probably.
Your teacher gave you that book?
Yeah. And I love Edgar Allan Poe, and it's dark shit. The mass, you know, the Black Mass, and, you know, the Red Death, like, all those shit. The Telltale Heart, I fucking love.
Well, that's good, man. You got a teacher that, I mean, high school reading sucks, dude. And then for a teacher to actually give you something that
sticks with you?
Sticks you for 20 years, because I remember in high school, all the readings were just fucking terrible. Lord of the Flies was okay.
Lord of the Flies was dope,
It was dope, but it was like, we spent a whole fucking 2 months on it. It's like, okay, pig face, I get it. I understand. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
So, guys, we love reading. And especially now, like, we love reading more so. You know?
I was telling Mark about that, too. I'm like, man, it's almost December. I mean, October's almost over. And I haven't really got to read, like a nice spooky story. I'm getting fucking angry.
Read that at night. It's a good one. Listeners. All right. And I know my lines were off, but off the cuff again.
It was pretty good.
If you guys can out-raven me, send me a video and just out-raven me, quote your best fucking version. If you guys don't, or if you guys want me to, next week I can possibly read it on air. It's a quick fucking kill, and it's spooky.
I liked it. So
The Raven, dope. Man. Fucking find it, out-raven me, guys.
I bet you guys can find that on Amazon.com. Perfect. Speaking of which, go to our website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You see two perfect banners.
Segue, love it, dude.
Two banners, one orange.
That's how you do that.
You click on it, you type in The Raven by Allan Poe. They have great deals on his books. It, you know, really freak out your kids or yourself, you know, whoever. Go ahead and buy it. We'll get a little piece of it. And if you're buying stuff, why do you want to pay for shipping? Who the fuck wants to pay for
shipping?
There you go. Go to Prime. The black one is Prime. That will give you 2-day shipping, free books, free music, free everything. But if you don't like it, remember you have to cancel in 30 days. Or Amazon says, give me my money. So they'll take it automatically.
There you guys go. All right, you guys can find us at thecomicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Go to wickedradionetwork.com. Go to nerdbongradionetwork.com. We have a lot of good podcasts that we talk to and, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, guys. And, you know, we're gnarly. We talk about everything, literally.
Good stuff.
All right, man. I'm liking the theme so far. Let's rock and roll, man.
Cool, man. We'll be right back.
With Comic Talk.
Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, we're back.
Comic talk. All right, TV movies. Let's hit it real quick, dude. Netflix's Punisher begins filming.
Yes.
So finally, dude. And that's going to start in 2017.
I wonder who he's fighting.
I don't think they've announced that yet. We got to look into that.
By a low class B
prom. Well, if they do Jigsaw, would be pretty fucking dope.
He's B, though. That's good.
But yeah, true. Next one's going to be Evangeline Lilly confirms Avengers 4 role. So she's going to be another one that's probably head sniped by Marvel. So Evangeline Lilly, she's with the Wasp.
Oh, okay.
She's in an interview and she said, yeah, I'm in part 4, and you know. It's like, yeah, bitch, you're not supposed to let me. You know, you kind of signed a confidentiality agreement. Next one's going to be Daredevil Season 1 Blu-ray. Listing reveals possible release date. I want this.
Daredevil Season 2? It's a Netflix.
Have any other, I guess by now they probably have, any other Netflix show been released on DVD? Yeah, right?
Well, I mean, originals? I don't know.
See that? I don't know.
Original. I don't know.
So that's kind of cool, dude. I want
that. Well, David hated it, so.
True. Next one's going to be New Mutants Casting Fox's Young X-Men movie. The New Mutants will mark Fox's next foray into the X-Men universe.
Oh, man.
I was not happy with the X-Men movies. The first class was good.
I didn't even watch the rest of the movies because it was just like...
Age of Apocalypse was bad.
I heard it was too many characters. And Apocalypse...
But they were... Okay. Marvel Studios was able to pull off Civil War. So if... And then it seems like Fox, who owns fucking Fantastic Four and the X-Men right now, they can't do an ensemble fucking movie.
Well, it feels like Marvel and Disney are like... At 2017, in like Fox and like and Sony are stuck in like the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just they have not got to that. Mm-hmm. DC too, are not at that. They're not at the top of their game.
I'll buy that. I totally back that up, then, dude. Okay, next one's gonna be Spider-Man spinoff news coming soon.
Okay.
How do you feel about the spinoff of Spider-Man? Whether
I kind of want to just see the first one before we get any spinoffs.
Me too.
But I think they're going to do it right.
Yeah, I agree.
Because isn't Marvel doing this one for them?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be a fucking...
But we don't know about the spinoff, though.
Sony, just give it... Just give it...
Give it back.
Give it back.
I know, dude. Next one's going to be... Disney says live-action Mulan will not be whitewashed, despite rumors. So Disney's doing live-action every fucking thing now.
Interesting.
And Mulan was going to be like a whitewashed character.
Isn't Mulan like a Asian...
Princess, yeah.
Because,
you know, yeah.
Joe with the Asians are awesome. At the Danny Kaye's, it was pretty.
Oh, that was dope, dude. Lost my credit card.
Listen, bro, there's only two Asians here, me and that other girl. And we don't know you.
That was awesome. And, oh, my God.
That was
dope,
funny.
Dude.
And you're, like, trying to, like, go around the Asian part, like,
and I'm like,
the girl with the... Short eyes? They didn't say that. I'm just kidding on that one.
She goes, does her eyes look like this? I'm like, no. Well.
She like rice? No. God.
She was racist. It was funny. Yeah, that was definitely. Anyways.
Sorry, that was an inside joke.
Next one's going to be just what we got interesting stuff. Lego launches DC superhero girls line.
Yeah.
I'm down with that because, dude, a lot of these superheroes, girls need a strong female fucking character. So yeah,
DC?
No,
well, I mean, they got
girls.
Wonder Woman.
So Lego is putting out like girls sets. Okay.
Wonder Woman.
Yes, all the Harley Quinn, Wonder Woman. Yeah, everyone did stuff. I'm down with that, dude. Next one's gonna be Microsoft's Gears of War game series to be adapted for film.
Okay, yeah, I did hear about that. It's a good game.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play the newest one, but you have to have a.
Speaking of game,
Xbox
dude,
One. I don't have one.
Speaking of game. Dude, the fucking baseball game. Right now, the Cubs versus the Dodgers, that series is fucking excellent, dude.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
I got to watch baseball with my dad finally this weekend, and it was beautiful, dude.
Nice.
So, it was cool, man. So anyways, dude, great series, dude. I'm pulling for Cubs. It's only been 100 years for them. Next one's going to be Marvel's new Nova series unites Rich Rider and Sam Alexander. It's going to be Nova number one.
Oh, okay.
We also have that came out today. Iceman's going to get his new ongoing series in spring 2017. Yep.
Okay.
I'm kind of down with that. Snyder and Capullo reteaming for Batman-centric DC summer event.
Oh.
For next year.
Okay. I'm really digging the All-Star.
Yeah, well, speaking
the
of...
The art is...
Go for it. Do you want to start there or end it there?
We'll end it also because I already did two this week.
Yeah, go.
I've been reading a lot of... I got the... Marvel Ultimate...
Marvel Unlimited.
Unlimited. So, I got a free month, so if you guys want to do it, just when you do it, they'll have, like, a little code to apply, and all you do is put NY16, New York 16, but just the abbreviations, and you get a free month, and I've been reading fucking Hickman's Fantastic Four.
You mentioned that earlier,
dude. This is so... It's... So, I don't know why, I think last week, we were like, I'm in the mood for some fucking Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not, you know, Marvel was pissed off at the movie and said, fuck you, they're dead. Well, not dead, they're just somewhere.
Reed Richards and Invisible Woman and the kids, Valeria and Franklin,
Franklin,
are gone.
Yeah, we don't know where they're at.
And thing is, with Guardians of the Galaxy right now, and Human Torch is on the Inhumans.
He's inside an Inhuman.
Yes. All right, man, speaking of, go for it, man. Start off anywhere you want to go.
Cool, man. So I read, real quickly, Spider-Man number... What number is it? It is...
Clone Conspiracy? Number one.
Yeah, so it's... they're all coming with their number ones now, guys. So if you see a number one, oh, it's number one. It's just starting a new event.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty good. So we get the aftermath of the death of John.
Yep.
Jameson.
So and, J. Jonah Jameson's dad.
Yeah, so... Oh, obviously, the son's still pissed off at Parker.
Poor guy, dude.
Just totally...
He can't win ever in his personal life, dude.
To do this at the funeral was kind of fucked up. Like, yeah. You're a fucking piece of shit.
Everyone always gives him shit like he... I have his life, dude. It's like, we don't care what the fuck you do. You're Spider-Man. Like, nobody knows he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, right? Except for the midget.
But he's working his ass off. And to get shit on at a funeral. Like, he doesn't feel bad enough.
And for the people that don't know, he died because he Parker could have gave him this researched rebuilding of cells or organs or something. And he said no because the guy he did do it to, is he's getting these freaked out spider senses. Like bad, like danger, danger.
Yeah.
So, he didn't want to do it. And at the end of the last issue, he said, could do it, but it was already too late. So... They're looking to see, you know, the person that they did fix, what's going on with him, you know, and it's not good because, you know, the wife's, you know, saying that they went on this camping trip and he kind of suddenly started like...
Because he forgot his pills.
So the pills are really affecting these guys. Yeah. They don't take them. And Spider-Man, I guess he got kidnapped, I believe, or he's in a facility.
He goes... looking into the new university.
Yes.
And that's the technology that is behind the reanimation.
They find him, but it's kind of like he's in this tube, and it's just his
that
veins.
That was a gnarly fucking panel. That was cool.
His veins and his eyes.
He sees the veins, the eyes, and the brain, and he's like, oh, fuck.
And he's like, oh, shit, he's alive, because he's fucking... Like,
he just blinked at me.
Well, no, yeah, like blinked. And he gets caught. Spider-Man gets caught in here. And
Electro and Rhino.
Female Electro, female, too. Yeah. So I don't know about that. I guess, I don't know if it's a daughter or whatever. So Rhino there, they throw down.
And he's able to handle both of them.
Yeah, Spider-Man's a beast, dude. He just, the way he moves, the art is really, really good. Really is, the panel fighting is really great. And he outsmarts them, and he gets like kind of like a shell shock after he beats them, because now Gwyneth is here.
Yes,
Gwen Stacy. She died, right?
Yeah, it's his first girlfriend, his love.
Like the movie she died, but like in another way she died, right?
That's the way she died, pretty much the way they showed.
Back snapped.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's there, and he's like, what the fuck?
And he doesn't get any... Spider sense is going off because of her.
And so, our boy Octavius,
Dr. Octavius, finally shows up.
Shows up.
And he's also reanimated, although he's been dead.
He looks like he packed down a couple pounds, but that's okay.
I like big guys.
I like him. He's still pissed off because he wants to stick some of those tentacles into Maria.
Yeah, dude. So, and I like, okay, back to Maria too, though. Like, I really like how... She's there for Peter.
I feel bad for her, dude.
Yeah, she got fucked. Literally.
Like, she's in love with Peter, but not Peter because of the mind swipe.
When it was Superior Spider-Man, who was Dr. Octopus in Peter Parker's body.
Can you just turn off your emotions that way? Like, you know, hey,
exactly.
It's the same body.
I agree.
You know, same dick.
That's, yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was really good. I want to see what's going on here. I don't know if Joel's Cohen having a knife in his hand. I don't know what's going on.
No, I'm sorry. Is that a knife? It is a knife.
It is a knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
I don't know if this is just a clone or...
I think they're all clones, but it's really weird the way Jackal, the guy who's in charge of bringing these clones back to life, he like even mentions like, yeah, they're reanimated, but they're reanimated with their exact memories, everything that they went through when they died. So technically they're clones.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like the clone backstory. We were way back.
Yep.
The clone of Spider-Man.
Yeah, clone conspiracy. So this is still the clone conspiracy though.
Okay.
Okay, so I liked it, dude. That was a really good one, dude. First one I'm going to hit is going to be Daredevil number 12. Charles Soule is the writer. Ron Garney is the artist. Matt Miller is the inker. I love the work on this fucking issue. Or just in title in general, dude. The art's been fucking really good. Pretty much starts off with Daredevil. He's been on the trail of some new villain called the Muse, who created a painting or a mural using the blood of murdered Inhumans.
Jeez.
So now Matt Murdock is trying to figure out, like, okay, who is it? So it starts off with Daredevil confronting this Muse guy, and he's like, don't worry about it, no one cares about the Inhumans. So and he's like, no dick, it's my job to fucking stop you. He throws his fucking billy club at him. The dude catches it, breaks it in half. He's like,
oh wow,
dude, you haven't even seen my best work yet. So just really cool interaction right up to start off. He sets off a grenade. Daredevil has to jump out of the way. He's like, fuck, it wasn't even a real grenade, he just used it to get away. So that's what it is now. So he gets out of his costume, and as Matt Murdock goes trying to figure out the scene of the crime, and because it's a bunch of dead Inhumans, the, what's his name, McGee, who's the, not the blind guy, but he was a cop, and the terror gun mishit him, now he's able to, every time he flashes his eyes, he has a photographic memory and can assess the picture he just saw.
Oh, shit.
So, he's a detective, and he's like, sorry, Mr. Murdock, I can't help. He's like, dude, I work for the DA. Let me know what's going on, because you guys, the Inhumans, are taking this case out of my hands because it's an Inhuman killing. So
do they have their own police force?
McGee is pretty much it. And now they do, though.
Okay.
So that's their whole thing. Cool. And Matt Murdock's like, dude, we need to stop this guy. Like, help me out. He's like, nope, sorry, man. There's nothing I can do for you. Daredevil suits up again, goes straight to New Attilan, visits Medusa straight up. All right, bitch, you know me. I've worked with you before. My friend Matt Murdock needs some information on this case. Can you give him a fucking bone here? Nope. Straight up. She's
wow.
Like, nope, it's an Inhuman thing. I'm not going to give you anything. Karnak shows up, and he's like, why don't you just fucking leave already? Are you going to make me leave? And they have a quick scrap, which is really good.
Karnak's badass.
He's a badass, and Daredevil was able to fucking hold his own and stop him.
Okay.
So McGee's like, he's, you know, the interrogator, detective for the Inhumans now. He's like, Daredevil, let's get out of here. You want a piece of me too? I just took out this fucker. I'm gonna fucking do worse to you. Daredevil just pissed off just because he wants information by this point. He's like, dude, come on, let's not do this. He steps out and tells Daredevil, I was a cop before these myths changed me. He's like, here's something that Medusa won't give you. I'll let you know as soon as I hear anything. I'll let you know what's going on with this case, because we really need to stop this motherfucker. So that's really cool how he interacts with the Inhumans. So just cool to see in general. That's pretty much the story in a nutshell, dude. So
cool.
That's it. I like it.
All-Star Batman number 3.
Oh, dope, dude. Okay.
Great.
Book of the Week? No, Daredevil was up there. Okay, yeah. Book of the Week.
Book of the Week for go me. For it. So we got this guy. He's kind of like a... He's the Beast.
Yeah,
the Beast guy.
Yeah.
KGB. Real, like, big dude. It's just...
A gun and a fucking machete type of deal?
Yeah, it's just a real unstoppable force. Really laying into Batman and Two-Face. Like,
okay,
kicking their ass.
Yes, and I love the way the story starts off is... It starts off, the first few pages are a panel of young Bruce and young Harvey Dent.
Yes.
When they were kids growing up together.
And we find out later what was going on with that.
So it was really cool. And then it's cool to see as kids how they were hanging out. And now once you turn the page, the panel is both of them bloodied up, fucking tied together. Like
getting their ass beat.
Getting their ass kicked, dude, yeah.
Yeah, this guy is no joke.
Beast, yeah.
He has all this upgraded armor and... It's just a bad motherfucker. Like, everything on... They have, like, these panels where they show, like...
His weapons. His armor.
And it tells, like, a little... Increase this and increase that. Really, really, really... Snyder did a really good job on this. The fight panels are just great. Lots of blood and killing. And just a lot of... Just... Like, he slices through these fucking dudes.
Like, mowing people down.
Just beheads these guys in one swipe. Two-Face takes some ninjas, ninja cool stars panel. To the face.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's cool to see Batman again. Like, I said the last time I reviewed the last issue, but to see Superman with gadgets still, like his bat knuckles.
And Batman.
Like, he's able, like, you think he's gonna get fucked up somehow, and he's fucked up already.
Well, he has, like, these brass knuckles that have, like, little bats. Yeah. I mean, which is pretty cool, you know?
But, like, the way they show the small things like that, I dug on. Go for it.
So, he takes two ninja stars to the face, mm-hmm. which means he needs some medical help, because I guess it cuts some certain spots in the face that he's just gonna bleed out. Luckily for them, Duke crashes in.
Helps him.
Comes out of nowhere. Crashes into him. And takes Batman and Two-Face to a safe house somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I guess Batman has these different places. And it's pretty cool. Safe house. It's the cave.
Yeah.
And it's, he has a buddy that has these bats. And that's where they get to,
it was cool
take
to
like
see
a
that.
Boat down this tunnel.
Yeah. And again, like that doesn't, it was surprising to see, but it wasn't surprising because it's Batman and he has a contingency plan for everything.
He does.
So, of course, he's going to have a safe house somewhere,
somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we get insight into the so-called cure that they're running to. It might... they use it on people that were affected by the Joker's last attack. So, it's kind of like the same chemicals. Duke gets pretty much butthurt when Batman doesn't give him a straight answer, which...
I kind of back up.
On why he's really helping Dent, and you see the difference between this Batman and Batman in right now with Tom King.
Yeah.
We got the typical Snyder Batman. I'm not going to tell you anything. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
But he
go
finally,
make me a peanut butter sandwich.
But he finally tells him, like, okay.
Yes. He finally,
some background.
Yeah, Dent and Bruce went to Arkham when they were young.
Yeah.
It was not meant for, like, the crazy, but it was meant for, like, damage.
Rehabilitation for kids.
For kids. And so Batman, they made this friendship, but they didn't know
who they were.
Like, I didn't know you were Dan, and you didn't know I was Bruce.
Yeah.
So no names. And they have this friendship there. They make their way down, you know, really cool. And
I like that background.
They find each other later on in life. You know, hey, remember that fucking summer camp?
And, yeah, type of deal. Yeah. That's a friendship they have.
They make their way down this tunnel, but... Are taken down by some, like, they look like knights.
Yeah, like, no, they got jousting skills.
And then, oh, I like to see backwards where they get the royal guys on the fucking cart.
Oh, yeah.
And Beast is all like, fuck you. Throws a bomb and just destroys them.
Very cool.
But the panels to following are great. Two-Face asks Batman a question. One, I never thought of the boy he knew back then. Could it have always been the bad side of Two-Face?
Exactly.
And this cure Batman is trying to give him, what if it made him into the true self? Made him into that...
The full
bad guy.
Because Two-Face is literally conflicted with his good and bad side.
So it was cool.
I liked it. And like, even with that quote-unquote cure, like, they have Duke and Bruce, Batman, dead to rights.
Yes.
And the way he's holding this vial, he's like... threatening fucking Batman. He opens the vial and he pours it all right in Bruce's eyes, granted with his bat mask, his cowl, but it's fucking acid.
It's pretty crazy when he did that.
It's fucked up.
So he didn't take the cure.
He's like, I want you to see what I see.
So I'm curious to see what I'm pretty sure he has, like you said, his cowl has that
something, but it's acid.
I don't know, right in the face.
And he starts screaming like, okay, he's getting fucked up.
The only drawback in this comic, I really wish they had a stronger artist.
Me too.
There was a couple panels where, like, Bruce's face, he looks like... I mean, I get it, he's bruised up, but he looks like Clayface, like these lumps everywhere.
That's John Romita Jr. is the artist. Declan Shalvey, the inks was great by Declan Shalvey.
Colors are good.
But you're right, like, JRJR, he can draw. I don't like all his art for everything. But it's gritty enough that it's making this story work. But yeah, you're right. It's
kind of like a Magneto.
Kind of, right?
Art.
Yeah.
That grittiness.
Yeah, it kind of adds to it, dude. So yeah, I backed it up, dude. Okay, next
very
one
good.
I hit is going to be
I like it.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 3. Scott Lobdell is the writer. Dexter Soy is the artist, sorry. Veronica Gandini is the inker. Pretty much starts off with Hood and Artemides finally come across Black Mass, new weapon. And Black Mass is the one pulling strings. Batman gave the okay to Red Hood, like, you're the only one that can go in as deep with the underground than anyone in the Bat family. So I need you to take this mission. So you're giving me permission to kill? Well, don't kill as many people as you normally do, but if I would appreciate if you don't kill. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going to kill them.
Dead.
Exactly. So that's pretty much it. Is Red Hood working now underground, working for Black Mask, and his new weapon is Bizarro.
I like Bizarro. I got to read this.
I kind of do. It's a good story, dude. So now it's really cool how Black Mask talks to Tim Drake, Jason Todd the whole time. Like, he wants him to take over the business or whatever, be like his right-hand man. So he's getting in tight with Black Mask already. And to see Artemides, who is like a Wonder Woman type character, and to see how strong she is, and she's locked up now. So Red Hood sees Bizarro, so he feels bad for him. Like, shit, like, I remember being reanimated, coming back to life, just like they're doing page by page. They're showing this, how Bizarro's coming back to life again, or reanimated, and he's like, I went through the same thing when they tossed me in the Lazarus pit. Mm-hmm. Like, people were shocked, but, like, even waking up from my death, I felt like I didn't belong. Like, I'm a curse. Like, I shouldn't be here. So he has that bond right over, or with Bizarro right off the bat, because nice. I know what you went through. So he feels bad. He's like, I'm going to reach out to him. Like, so he goes shopping, and they're literally, like, fuck with him once he's reanimated. They, like, have his eyes open, constantly watching Superman, and they want him to know his powers. Red Hood doesn't like this. He's like, there's got to be another way to do this. Like, conditioning type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool, dude. That's, in a nutshell, is just Red Hood feeling for Bizarro. And the interactions they have towards, and just throughout the whole issue, is really good, man. So I liked it a lot, dude.
What's his name? Liddell?
Scott Liddell, yeah.
He's doing good. I like his writing.
I like his writing.
I gotta read this.
But he's doing really good, dude. So yeah, I liked it, dude. That's all I got, dude. I was back to work, so I'm a little beat today.
The art is beautiful.
Yeah, the art is fucking killer, dude. Yes, yes.
Like, I'm totally looking at the first panel where he's like looking at
mm-hmm.
Robin's looking at the
yes.
fucking suit.
I love the art, dude. Already, dude. Jesus. Yeah. So it is beautiful, though. Yeah. So pick it up, guys. That's one worth checking out. That's all I got. Okay.
Yeah, guys.
All right, you guys can go to thecomicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com, share the podcast, subscribe to us in iTunes, Stitcher, and hit us up if you guys want to out Raven Man. What you got?
Yes, guys. Tell some scary stories if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you video camera, maybe I'll put it on the site or something. I don't know how I can do that. Cool. Maybe I could try.
You probably could post it.
I could probably post a link to it.
True.
So if you have a scary story and you want to say it,
yeah,
little video, I can try. I'm pretty sure I can. If
yeah.
you guys are interested in
that. I had one of my friends actually tell me she can see spirits.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm like, well, fucking tell me stories. She told me some stories, but it was like more in person, and it's like, I need to physically see it. Like, I don't want to just tell the story off the top of my head. Yeah.
But, okay.
But yeah, so hopefully she hits me up. And yeah, guys, we got 2 more weeks of spooky story talk. And I still got a few more scary stories to share with you.
Cool, man. I gotta. Maybe ask some of the kids.
Interesting.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't want to freak out the fucking.
True. But fuck it.
We'll see.
You hate him and you fuck. Alright, guys. We will catch you guys next week. Share the podcast again more than anything. Subscribe and like and Stitcher. You guys will find my boy Adam.
Grab the beaner.
The funny app for the villain. And yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace out.